Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 28th day of March, 2010. Welcome to the John Moore Show. While doing my research before the show, I ran across an article, something I didn't know exists. I could have gone a long time without having to know about this, but we all need to know about it. On Republic's website, here's the headline, Chloramine Causes Collateral Health Damage. Well, this is news to me. I always thought that these water systems were using chlorine. But chloramine is something special. They mix ammonia with chlorine to create chloramine as a disinfectant. This article by Dr. Wynn Parker, it's just about two pages, not quite two pages, single-space typewritten. Bad stuff. I mean, it's carcinogenic. It accumulates in your organs. It's a toxic chemical. I'll let you go to the Republic Broadcasting website and read this for yourself, but it just reemphasizes that if you are using the public water supply to consume for your drinking water, cooking, and so forth, you need to filter it. You need to filter your drinking water. The Berkey water filter, I believe, gets this stuff out. I was looking at the Berkey website just before the show started, and my belief is that it does get it out. It wasn't listed there as one of the things that they specifically, but they do generically talk about removing toxic chemicals. So I would urge you to get a Berkey water filter and do what you got to do to have clean water so you can be healthy. Just looking at, we got a couple of critters here in my pond. Watching them swim across, they look like they're probably muskrats. Muskrats can be very damaging. They eat up the fish and they make tunnels in the dam. Anyhow, we don't have any guests scheduled today. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. I say again, 800-313-9443. Well, a week ago today, the healthcare...
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming...
Well, we got a break. Hold on, we'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th of March, 2010. Well, I'm helping a local store here in my neighborhood do a Amsoil Sabre 100 promotion. And Sabre 100 is a very unique product. Most of my neighbors out here, these ranchers and farmers and so forth, they all have chainsaws, weed eaters, leaf blowers, all of which have two-cycle engines, most of which take different oil-to-fuel mixtures, requiring numerous little red cans with a proper fuel to oil mixture, which if they get the incorrect fuel to oil mixture, it will ruin the chainsaw or leaf blower or weed whacker, whatever it is. Sabre 100 eliminates all that. It's one mixture, 100 to 1, that takes care of all two-cycle engines, except outboard motors. We got a special one for outboard motors. It's a really neat product. I've been using it for a number of years, and it really does work. A friend of mine, he saved up his money and bought a brand new, high quality, very expensive German chainsaw before he found out about Sabre 100. He put the wrong fuel mixture in. He just picked up the wrong can, put the wrong gas oil mixture in there, and he ruined his brand new, beautiful German chainsaw. Those kinds of expensive inconveniences, I should say, don't have to happen when you use Sabre 100. We've got our first caller on the line here, Art in Arizona. Go ahead, Art.
How are you today?
Real good.
I recently was able to find that book that you were talking about a while back, An Honest Man.
You did?
And, oh man, did I have a hard time finding that book. It is a book that I think has been suppressed. It's literally, there was one copy available through Amazon from a used book dealer. And I paid $40 for it, but I went ahead and got it because I wanted to say that I'm about two-thirds of the way through it. And I can see why they want that book suppressed.
It names names, don't it? It gives very specific names and what these men did.
Yes, it does. It kind of puts the whole... I've read a lot of books on the Kennedy assassination. I've kind of been an amateur student of that assassination. I've always hoped that I could go... Before I go to my grave, they finally unravel that. It kind of ties in together everything that I've read in a nice, concise picture.
It does, doesn't
but,
it?
It's a very difficult book to acquire. Very difficult.
Well,
the other thing I wanted to... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Art. Go ahead.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to bring up is I noticed that the FBI is going after the Michigan militia now.
Well, I read those articles on Republic. I don't think I'd characterize it quite that way, Art. It looks like two or three raids going after two or three individuals. Michigan is frequently called Militiagan. There's thousands of militia members in Michigan. And we don't know the circumstances yet or the reasons.
Yeah, they're being very quiet.
Well, I'll give you a heads up here. Monday through Friday, I'm on Micro Effect. And the show following my show is Mark Kornke. Mark is real big in the Michigan militia. And tomorrow morning, beginning when my show ends at 8 Central, Mark will come on, and I'm sure he'll be addressing that matter.
Yes, he will. And I do listen to you on the Micro Effect also, and I listen to Mark. And I'm looking forward to his show tomorrow. I usually download them, though, because I'm a day sleeper. But it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Anyway, that's all I had.
Okay, well, thank you, Art. We appreciate your call. The book Art was talking about, in case you didn't get the title of it is An Honest Man. An Honest Man. And it's about the Kennedy assassination. The premise of the book is an intelligence agency insider, a lifelong CIA employee who's near death and reveals a lot of details to an individual who writes a book and takes extensive notes and is given a lot of documents by this individual, by the way, and writes a book based on the documents he's given in the interviews with this gentleman. It names a lot of names, and like Art from Arizona was saying, it pulls together the whole episode surrounding Kennedy's death in a way that I've never seen another book do. Regular caller here. Sheldon, how are you today, sir?
Hello, John.
Hello, go ahead.
I've been pretty busy. I got to fly up to Wisconsin about a week ago. I got to stop over, change planes out at the Denver International Airport, and sure enough, all that stuff is really there. They make it a hassle, though. You have to go on a train ride and go through the security screening process to get back into the gates there, but I got to take some pictures. It was pretty enjoyable.
Okay.
I also got to stop by and stay with John the night I flew into Milwaukee. Boy, he's got a place about the size of a small bathroom, and he's got enough stocked up there to last him probably for 5 years, I would say.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. John impresses me as somebody who'd be prepared. Okay.
Anyway, I also wanted to give you a plug. You're going to be on Gianni Hayes' show on American Voice Radio Network this coming Wednesday night.
No, that's been moved.
That is
this Wednesday night. I'm thinking of a different show that was moved. I am on Gianni Hayes this coming Wednesday night. You're right. Yep.
Oh, what is the other one that was moved?
Oh, what is that? Rebecca Jernigan. She's on a show out of Kansas, I think.
Oh, yeah, Journeys with Rebecca, right. Okay.
Yep. And that's Saturday the 17th, 8 o'clock p.m. Central.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of radio, and I'm working on, I'll be doing a lot more beginning in a month or two, a lot of guest appearances all over the country, maybe even get some TV out of it, I don't know.
Have you seen my emails? This guy, Lucas, he's been on the Lee Rogers show here on Thursday night.
Well, good for him. Lucas is put together an excellent presentation. It's too bad that the bookstore presentation was not professionally recorded, with good lights and good audio and so forth. It's just an excellent, excellent presentation.
It is, but the reason he did it that way is he didn't really intend for this to be a public presentation in the first place.
Well, it's obvious from the end product is, it's obvious they did not intend for it to end up that way, but it's worth putting up with it to the bad sound, there's nothing about it that's professional, but the information is so valuable, it's worth putting up with it to get the information.
I know you and Lucas are the only two out there I know that are in depth about talking about this government relocation stuff out to the middle of the country and all this and that.
Well, this is an important thing, Sheldon, and there's a lot of, in Patriot Radio and Internet, there's a lot of attention to Camp FEMA and FEMA relocation camps and how they're going to round up patriots. Consider this. Maybe the reason they're building these camps is because there's going to be millions of refugees and they're going to need them. It's not necessarily some nefarious plan to round up people who believe in the Constitution. They're building them because they will need them.
Right. After I heard you mention that, I finally had that part of the camps figured out.
Okay.
Hey, one more thing. Have you ever monitored this Denver Airport scanner online? You can listen to the frequencies there online.
I know you can do that, and no, I have not. Have you?
I tried it today for the first time, and I noticed one of the there's like a notes thing underneath there. It says one of the things you can monitor is a frequency called Stargate there. I found that interesting.
Well, our opposition does have a sense of humor, don't they?
Sure do. Hey, we'll talk to you later, John.
Thank you, Sheldon. Next caller here from the frozen north, Doug in Minnesota.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I verified that today online. It's on Channel 7 out of Detroit, where the FBI went in, and they're going after the militias there, doing roadblocks and forcing people to go through the roadblocks, and so far they've arrested 7 and hauled them away, and they won't give any explanation as to why they're doing it.
Right.
Your friend there with the chainsaw that he burned up, I did that with a Husky.
And Husky's a good one. Husky's one of the best.
I went down, and what happened? You burn the ring out, you go down and buy a new piston for about $50, pull the head off, put your new piston in, it's brand new chainsaw.
Well, so, Doug, if you used AMS Oil Saber 100, you'd only have one red can, not three or four like you've got now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if your friend wants to fix his chainsaw, all he has to do is have a new piston put in, it'll be just like new again.
Oh yeah. It's just the aggravation of being, making that mistake.
Yeah. I did mine with pure gas. I grabbed the wrong one, put straight gas in there, and boy, it ran really good for about a minute.
It reminds me of my first car. I got a cracked head on it. It was sucking water into the and burning, and it was running like it was supercharged until it finally quit. Anyway, Doug, getting back to this militia thing, we don't know yet what's going on up there. It's possible that people who are members of the militia also have other problems, maybe child custody or some kind of other involvement. We simply don't know yet. Yeah, if we can all wait till tomorrow morning, Mark Carnkey will give us a thorough debriefing on what's going on up there in detail on the micro effect.
Okay. What do you think?
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th of March, 2010. Welcome back. Another caller on hold here. Roger, go ahead, Roger. It's your turn, Roger. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have a comment about John F. Kennedy's assassination. I was in California back in 77, and I was going to a pretty good church. And my pastor had mentioned that there was a gentleman that had something to show him. When John F. Kennedy was assassinated, I guess the FBI started gathering all the movie cameras and everything else. But there's one they didn't get. Well, anyhow, this gentleman showed him the film, And what it did, and I like your guys that knows about this to check into this, but it showed the driver. He took his gun and put it underneath his arm, and when he shot for Kennedy the first time, he missed and got the governor. The second shot got the president in the head. His wife jumped out, they said, because she was picking up what blown off his head, but she was pushed back in. They heard it and rushed off. Well, you know, they say that Oswald was the one, which, you know, we know he really didn't do it. He might have known about it. But and then they had the grassy knoll. But that explains that direction, and it showed that the driver is the one that did the assassination. And check into that.
Okay. I've heard of that before, Roger, and I would like to see the film. Or is it a film?
It was one of those old millimeter films, but this is in California, and I was told this back in 77, so the pastor's still alive, I don't know, but it's just something to check out, you know, or see if it makes any sense.
Well, what can I say? That information doesn't fit with most everything else I've seen and heard, and I am familiar with that particular belief that the driver did do some shooting. But,
okay, I just want to make that comment.
Okay, Roger, we appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Is this our regular John in Wisconsin calling here? Go ahead.
Yes, this is John from the New North, the North Pole here. So, how you doing, John?
Good.
Okay. I had really good guides. I emailed you this. There's a lot of really good survival books out there. Some of them do lack the edible wild plants, you know, drawings and colored or non-colored pictures. You really can't tell. So I have this pamphlet. It's called Edible Wild Plants. It's flat like a pancake. It's waterproof. It comes from waterfordpress.com. And if you go to waterfordpress.com, they've got wilderness survival, combat first aid, and these would be perfect to fit in your bug out pack. It wouldn't take up much space.
What's the title of the book? What's the title of the book again, John?
They're pamphlets.
Pamphlets. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're $5.95. I think some are $7.95.
Mm-hmm.
But they have one on wilderness survival, edible wild plants. They got all the colored pictures in there, and they're so flat they could fit in your backpack. Wouldn't take up much space. But waterfordpress.com, and if you go, when you get on the website there, just click on their catalog on the upper left, and they got all the guides. You can get these at Borders and other bookstores. I bought mine at Borders.
All right. And you say it's a laminated finish also?
It's laminated. It's bend proof, you know, all that. So you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting it wet and destroyed. It's all, and it got a lot of helpful tools and tips and all kinds
what's
of stuff
the,
in there.
What's the bind? What kind of binding does it have?
What's that?
What kind of binding?
The binding?
Is it spiral bound or perfect bound? Or?
Oh. It's folded. It's folded. It's folded like a map. Oh,
okay. Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So if people want to go to that website, waterfordpress.com. They got all these guides in here from wilderness survival, emergency first aid. Be perfect just to fit in your backpack. And I just thought I'd bring them in there. There's a lot of good survival books, but some of them just lack the colored pictures for edible wild plants. You want to make sure you eat the right plants. You don't want to end up eating the poisonous plants.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if it tastes, the quick heads up there, if it's bitter, spit it out, you know.
Right. So I thought I brought that up to be helpful for everybody out there for your preparedness. These are really nice. They don't take up much space.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you for your call, John.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, John. Okay.
Yep. You also may want to check with your state conservation commission. Wild edibles vary from region to region. And I don't know about this publication from Waterford Press, but you want to be sure that you get whatever publication you get is suitable for the region that you're living in. Now, obviously, Florida is going to have a lot different wild edibles than Alaska will have, just to use two extremes for an example. We've got our bottom of the hour break coming up here momentarily. Just a quick announcement here from Freeze Dry Guy. He continues to do the most innovative things in long-term storage food industry. Been at it for four decades, wrapping up his fourth, starting his fifth decade here. His pay-as-you-go club, four different clubs, beginning with one case a month to several cases a month of number 10 cans, six cans per case. The fourth club is a protein club, where you get one case of protein meals delivered to your door every month. And, of course, $5 a month entitles you to a very nice discount, his buyer's club. $5 a month makes you a member of his buyer's club. Toll-free number is 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th day of March 2010. Well, Republic Broadcasting is having a pledge drive. If you'd like to donate, you can call the following number Monday through Friday, 10 to 6 p.m., 10 a.m., 6 p.m. Central Time, 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Or you can donate online at the Republic Broadcasting website. That's republicbroadcasting.org, and you can do that. Let's see. I'm going to scroll down here and see if we still got the generic bumper business cards. Well, this is pretty as good. Deal's getting better all the time. You get 100 for $8, including shipping. Plus, you get a copy of a DVD, Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism, and bumper stickers. That's a lot for your $8. And you can do that by calling 800-724-2719 as well. Now, I know many of you listening out there have plans to have your own electricity when the power grid goes down. If you've been looking into this, you know that one of the essential elements is basically three parts to doing a home power situation. First of all, generating electricity. There's lots of ways to do that. Steam-powered genset from a steam engine. You can use solar power. You can use wind power. You can use water power. A gasoline, propane, or diesel genset. Propane is the better of the three because the fuel never goes bad in the engine. You run an engine on propane. Years and take it apart, looks like a brand new engine. They burn so clean. That's one component. The second is your battery system, and the third is your inverter. Well, the batteries have always been the weak link. Lead acid batteries will last anywhere from 8 years to 12 years. 8 years is average, 10's pretty good, 12's kind of pushing the limit for lead acid batteries. That can cost you anywhere from several hundred to easily $20,000. That's where the Edison batteries come in. Edison batteries is old technology. They're nickel iron alkaline, not lead acid. Nickel iron alkaline batteries, well, we don't know how long they last. The ones at the Edison Museum have been going strong now for more than a century. Continuous charge and discharge cycles for more than a century. They're still in perfect condition. We really don't know how long Edison batteries last. You want details, give Rick Salata a call at 406-834-3611. I say again, 404-834-3611. He has a special website set up called ZapWorks, World Wide Web, ZapWorks, Z-A-P-P-W-O-R-K-S. We're doing a special order here to get a good discount on these batteries. If you get your name in the pot, you know, you can get in on this deal and get a real healthy discount on your 1,000 amp hour Edison battery. Give Rick a call tomorrow. He's up in Dillon, Montana. Mountain time, I would give him until about 9 o'clock at 406-834-3611. We got the call stacking up here again, and I think this is a California caller. Kay, are you there, Kay? Go ahead, sir. Kay, it's you.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Good. Hey, look, for you folks, that gunman thing, if you go to your library, and they bought up, they didn't buy up, they sealed up all the records from the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And that was Time Life, and locked them up for, what, 20, 25 years.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, they locked
we're,
up.
We're coming up on, 37 years this year, I believe. Yeah.
That was the time life of Bilderberg people. But if you go to your library, you can catch that on DVD, and a picture's worth a thousand words. You can watch it all for yourself on that DVD. Okay, that's a two-CD DVD deal. And we pretty
much... What's the title of it, Kay?
The Men Who Killed Kennedy.
The Men Who Killed Kennedy, okay.
The Men Who Killed Kennedy, okay? Mm. And I wonder, I'd appreciate, because I don't use my credit cards anymore, and I wonder if you could, down the road here in the future, give a mailing address for donations to Republic Broadcasting System.
Well, I'll do that right as we speak, and here we go. 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, three words, Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, or I guess it would be Suite 302. The town is Round Rock, two words, round as in go as in round.
Capital R-O-C-K.
And the zip code is 78664. And of course, if you just call the number Monday through Friday, they'll give you the mailing address. It's 800-724-2719.
What state was that, sir?
Texas, TX.
Oh, okay, got
Tango,
it.
Tango X-Ray.
And also, you know, I'm also... up to bringing it up to date and up to speed for everybody, I thought Sarah Palin was a really good girl when she first blazing out of the saddles there. We all know that Mr. John McCain is against Ron Paul, the Patriot Movement, our Constitution. He's been very treasonous, and he's formulating regulations and against American vets. Against everything constitutional, and she's saddled up. And if
hello, did we lose Kay? Okay, well, I'll finish his thought for him, because when I saw Sarah Palin up there in on the same platform with McCain in the last week, promoting McCain's candidacy for U.S. Senate, that pretty much brought to an end any support or admiration I had for Sarah Palin. If John McCain was president of the United States, what would be different? Well, we'd be in Afghanistan with more troops, just like we are now. Our economy would be suffering in the same manner with the massive bailouts, just like we are now. And the health care plan would have been passed pretty much intact the way it's passed now. Kay, we lost you for a moment. Are you back?
Yeah, I don't know if Harp or DARPA cut me off, but I just wanted to get in a quick deal for folks that want to get on today's page with Sarah Palin, American Free Press. The power is behind Sarah Palin. 888-699-6397, so today's voters can get up on what's going on today.
All right.
Thank you, and God bless.
We appreciate it, Kay.
Thanks, bye.
And we got another caller here from beautiful South Carolina. Jerry, go ahead. Jerry in South Carolina. It's your turn. Wake up.
I'm wondering how they're going to implement, if Planet X is going to be the cause of the flooding, are they still going to plan this Project Bluebeam? I don't know. That I've been reading about.
Well, there's multiple agendas, Jerry, proceeding at the same time, and if implementing Project Bluebeam continues to fit their goals and help them achieve their goals, of course they'll do it.
Right, because so far two individuals or three have come out as the Maitreya. One is called Raj Patel, the other one's Supreme Rockefeller. And also they're saying that Prince William is maybe the Antichrist, but that's the speculation. So,
well, there's been speculation for centuries of the Antichrist. And if you got time to dwell on that, God bless you. I don't myself.
Yeah, no, I read as much as I could to try to educate. I am preparing And thank God I listened to you, and I've been watching the, I watched the video, and I've been preparing for the last 6 months. I woke up about a year ago to what was going on.
Well, good. Glad you did, Jerry.
Okay, and also with Jesus' return, I mean, that it sounds like we are in the last days also. So I mean, nobody could really put a time frame, but they say that Nimrod is supposed to return also through this project, Planet X, some correlation between the Planet X and Nimrod.
Well, that's I've heard that said also.
Right, right. Okay, well,
okay.
I'm going to continue to prepare.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Well, for you new listeners, my name is John Moore. My website is thelibertyman.com. You can read my bio, see my photographs, and look at the products I've put together for you all out there. I go to some effort to find unusual, unique books and products that you may not be aware even exist, like the Paratrooper Bicycle, for example, or the book Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out. It's I was going through my library the other day and kind of trying to consolidate some of these books by genre, and I probably got 20 or so books related to wilderness survival, both military publications and private sector publications. I've got a small collection of, for example, of every Boy Scout manual going back to about 1917, around the time of the First World War. Well, not all of them. I think the one or two of the more recent ones I don't have, but all through the teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I've got those Boy Scout manuals. None of them come close to as being as detailed and practical as Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out. And I'm speaking from experience. I've spent some time out in the bush doing these things, and I know pretty well what works and what doesn't work. And the men who put together Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out, they know what they're doing. And it's obvious that these men are not book publishers. They're not artists. Their drawings are just a little bit better than my drawings. I could draw a stick man pretty good. But the information is there in great detail, all the detail that you would need. Six Ways In, 12 Ways Out. My DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, continues to be a bestseller. I got an order a couple weeks ago from a man in Nashville, Tennessee, for 1,000 copies. We had to stop the presses, so to speak, and go to a whole different way of duplicating, because we were doing no more than 50 or to 100 at a time previously. Going to 1,000, we had to go to offset presses for our labels, for example. But we're doing it, we're getting them knocked out, and soon there'll be 1,000 copies delivered by UPS to my customer in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's not even a regular listener to my show. I thought at first he might be a country western star, but no, he's just a hard-working man with he saw my DVD, somebody gave him a copy of my DVD, and God bless him. He's going to get 1,000 copies and get them out to everybody he knows. Call the numbers 800-313-9443. It's time to be planting gardens. You're going to hear a lot on Patriot Radio about non-GMO garden seeds and such as that. I don't believe anybody's promoting any natural fertilizer. I just happen to have some on my website, the Agrand brand, which is a subsidiary of Amsoil. All natural. It's a liquid concentrate, and you mix it with water. Made from fish. That's what the Indians use. I remember when I was a child in grade school, how they would put a couple of corn seeds in the ground, and put a piece of fish on top of it to fertilize the corn and help it grow. Well, that's what this Agrand is made from. There's one of the three types of liquid fertilizer is made from fish. Not all three is made from fish. And you can check that out at my website, thelibertyman.com. All right. What's coming up? I need to refresh my screen because we have callers here, and I wasn't even aware of that. stacking up like aircraft at LaGuardia. JG in California. Go ahead, JG.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Just had a question about shotguns, and I wanted your advice on a couple of questions concerning a rifle. Isn't there, as I've heard before, John, and I thought you may have told me last year, isn't there a specific combat slug in a 12-gauge that's different than the general slug, you know, whether it be for hunting or not? Isn't there a combat slug that's better penetration?
Well, generally, there's the military uses number 4 buckshot as a general rule, and in a combat shotgun usage situation, they're not looking to penetrate barricades because compared to a 30 caliber rifle, you don't have the punch with a slug. A 308 is going to have a lot more punch than a 12 gauge shotgun slug. But there are Bernicke is one of the better known slugs for penetration. It's a little bit longer and gives it a little more velocity.
It's called Bernicke?
Bernicke, yeah.
Oh, Bernicke, okay. Yeah. So that's all throughout the United States pretty easily to get.
I think you can get it online. The best online ammunition place is buyammo.com.
Okay.
And there's always you know, cheaper than dirt in some of these other places that advertise a lot. But buyammo.com is probably the largest internet sales place for ammunition.
Which one?
Buyammo.com.
Oh, yeah. I called last year and they were out of handgun ammunition quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I haven't looked recently. I don't know if 380 is catching up yet or not, but it may be after a year and a half it finally is.
Yeah, 357 was out.
Doesn't surprise me.
The question is, if you can't afford, you know, to buy an OT6 or 308, much less, you know, afford the ammo, would you recommend for a defensive weapon long range a 22 long rifle or a 22 Magnum or 22 250?
Well, you're comparing apples and oranges here, JG. A 22 250 is very similar to a 223. It's basically a varmint round.
Right.
A real high velocity, small diameter projectile. You're better off going, if you're going to go get 22 250, I'd rather see you go with a 223 just because of ammunition availability. You'd have the same ammunition that the military uses.
I see. I was just wondering for the lightweight factor of long range.
You want to hold on through the break here, JG?
Yeah.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everyone. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back, and let's go straight to JG, see if we can get your questions done before the top of the hour here, JG.
Yeah, we should be able to, John. The reason why I brought up a 22-250, John, was not only ballistics, but distance between a 22 or a 22 Magnum. And the other question why I brought it up is that, you know, if one is handicapped and whether you'd have to flee from your car or your residence into whatever type of terrain, whether it be urban, would a 223 ammo be, is a 22-250 ammo, which I've never seen, is that just as heavy in the shell and the casing, or the bullet in the casing as a 22-230?
It'd be so close it wouldn't matter. If you're in a bug out situation, you're not going to be intentionally looking for firefights. You're going to be avoiding people,
right,
avoiding that, so I wouldn't get too caught up with having to carry hundreds and hundreds of rounds.
Well, I know that.
You know, so.
But you'd want at least 200 or 300 rounds, and if you got a bad leg or back or whatever, you couldn't be even carrying maybe even that many. Because 223, right, I remember even in my 20s, was pretty heavy.
Well, one thing we can't make lighter is ammunition and water, unfortunately. But you bring up the 22 Magnum. That's a much overlooked round. It's got very nice ballistics. It's a considerable increase in foot-pounds of energy over a 22 long rifle.
Right.
Granted, it costs more than a 22 long rifle, but compared to any other center fire round, it's extremely cheap. So that's an excellent choice. A 22 Magnum in either a pistol or a rifle is it's a weapon to be taken seriously.
That can be a killing machine too. Would you not say even in?
Oh, absolutely. Bullet placement's critical with these smaller rounds, but
right.
Well, the Eskimo scouts have used a 22 long rifle to kill everything, including polar bears. And they shoot them through the eyeball into the brain. That's how they kill them.
Okay.
But a 22 Magnum is a considerable increase in foot-pounds of energy over a 22 long rifle. And it's all in the hands and the skill of the shooter.
Okay, now what if you chose, okay, so in a defensive purposes, whether from a car or a house, would you, taking the condition of the medical condition of the person, would a 12 gauge with slugs and number double aught or number four buck, would a shotgun be better in that case or a 22 Magnum rifle?
I'd go with a 12 or 20 gauge if a person had any physical disabilities over a 12 gauge. And either number four buck or double aught buck, either are, you know.
Well, I'm saying if a man could handle a 12 gauge, you know, firing it, John, I'm talking about would it be more. Would there be more, not penetration, but would it be easier to defend against a squad military if you were a single person or if there were two of you?
One person is not going to defend against a squad. Their best thing is to escape before that squad shows up. When you use the term squad, you're implying 4 to 6 men who are armed, trained, and have communications. They're gonna just take you down unless you're Rambo, you know.
I understand, but you may be able to handle, C2, or what do you call it, tear gas. You know, if you're prepared for that, then they'll have to come through the door, and so that's a 12 gauge. I think it'd be better through a door than a 22 Magnum. Wouldn't you think, John?
Well, I agree with that. Discretion is a better part of valor. Defending against 2 or 3 criminals is more likely than a platoon or a squad of trained. Individuals.
Well, I was just bringing this up. It just depends on the scenario where we're talking.
It does.
No, I was bringing it up because if we're in martial law, that could mean civilian, you know, anarchy, or it could mean foreign troops, depending. And I just brought up
absolutely
both scenarios.
Okay. We can talk about this more later. Thank you, Mike. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of the John Morris Show on Sunday, the 28th day of March, 2010. We got the call stacking up here, and we'll just get right to the callers. Mike in Ohio. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, JR?
Good.
I think another one of the overlooked calibers is the 45 long Colt.
Well, it's got some advantages. It's an old black powder cartridge, which just happens to be the same size as a 410 shotgun shell. There's a pistol called the Judge, which has enjoyed phenomenal success in the last few years. But go ahead.
I've seen him, the Judges, but I've been collecting the old black, like the 1858 Remingtons is one of my favorites.
Are you a hand loader, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what you can do if you're only going to shoot modern rifles, is you can get a lot of powder in that shell casing. the factory loads are all loaded light because you can put them in an antique that's not suitable for the high pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. So
if you
know for a fact that your modern rifle will be the only one that you're firing your 45-70 from, you can load those things a lot hotter than the factory ever would dream of.
Yes, but when you convert over an 1858, reproduction, you've got to stay under, according to the manufacturer, under 850 feet per second.
You know? You're talking about an antique rifle here.
No, I'm talking about a 1858 handgun.
Oh, well, pistol, yeah. You don't want to load those too high to blow your hand off.
Yes, I know. But that's up to the 90s.
You've got a break. Oh, Mike, hold on. We got a break coming up. We're losing some people here. I know you and I are talking about these guns. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. All right. Back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. And Mike in Ohio, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm just worried about defending against burglars, crooks, and criminals coming from out of the big cities. That's what I'm not concerned about defending against a squad.
Right. Well, the 4570 should certainly do that. One of the things, those cowboys had it figured out. The one caliber would fit both their carbines and their pistols, which simplified their logistics being out there in the bush.
Yeah. And the main reason I called was to ask you if there's been any new developments since you made your DVD on the global warming, what the government's not telling you. And also to mention that while I was listening, I looked on Amazon, and there was one of those books that the previous caller was talking about, and they want $75 for it.
Well, my book that I wrote, which is out of print on eBay, is going for $271.99. Feel safe anywhere where you can be your own bodyguard. So, but anyway. I think if you want to defend against criminals, the 4570 and a revolver or a carbine or both would do you quite well there, Mike.
All right. How's about any new updates since you?
Global warming. Well, I'm just doing some research on that today. I expect to get my hands on a government publication in the next week or two. Once I have it, I'll be making it available. And a U.S. government publication talks about violently rising ocean levels in the not too distant future. I'm working on that. I got a contact who says he can get it for me. He's seen it. It's actually two publications. And other than that, we just continue to get little bits and pieces. Are you a regular listener, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then you heard me talk about how we found out that NSA is building a $3 billion computer center south of Salt Lake City in the desert.
Yeah,
and NASA, Never a Straight Answer, National Aeronautical Space Administration, granted a $74 million contract to a Prudential subsidiary to relocate their employees.
Yeah,
there's a rumor, and I have not gotten the evidence yet. A rumor that the Vatican will relocate from Rome to St. Louis, Missouri, by the way.
Yeah, I have not remember that. But I have your DVDs, and I'm just wondering if there's been any more updates. And I still have
you're a regular listener. I try to get the updates out here live on the air when they come in.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate
it. Have a good one.
Got a note here. A caller called in off the air, told my engineer that DeltaForce.com has a selection of shotguns. Your local pawn shop, your local gun store. I'd much rather see you patronize your local mom and pop gun shop than I would see you go to the big box like Walmart. Now, Walmart's the largest retailer of firearms in the United States, I guess in the world. But these mom and pop gun shops are struggling to get by, and I'd much rather see you give them your business. Arthur in Arizona. Go ahead, Arthur.
Tom Moore?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding, sir. We spoke in the past about nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, first aid, and you were willing to speak about that some more, and I would like to speak with you about that in the future. However, I have a ballistic question for you regarding shotguns.
Okay.
Range to human target, 30 yards, 90 feet. Weapon, 28-gauge. Load, birdshot. Should that be a hard slap in the face at 90 feet, sir?
Well, you may put the, as my mother warned me when I was 8 years old, it may put their eye out, but minor skin abrasions is about all you're going to get with any shotgun at that range shooting birdshot.
Okay, with shooting glasses on, then may I quote you as an authority, sir, on ballistics, that a 28 gauge against a human target with shooting glasses on at a range of 30 yards, 90 feet, should be minor skin abrasion?
I would say so. Yeah.
God bless it. Now, how about this? weaponized ozone. Nothing says I'm going to eat the gas mask off your face, screamed Ray John Moore like. Compressed liquid ozone in Pyrex. Thump. Have you ever thought about weaponizing ozone?
I haven't. Sounds like you have, though.
Roger that. Well, I'd like to speak with you about eating a gas mask off of somebody's face and clearing a house or a block and making up for arseholes and elbows with a little bit of ozone, sir.
Okay. How would you project the... How would you compress...
How about potato gun technology nibble worfers as a field expedient, sir?
Okay.
And one might simply put a stainless valve stem on the lid of a beer, soda, champagne, wine bottle, make yourself a 10, 12 Nebelwerfer, and thump, you're out there with something that's going to lay down out four and give you time to think.
Well, it sounds like you've been putting some effort into this, Mike.
Arthur,
excuse me.
May I send you an email verifying the quote of minor skin abrasion? And give you some data about field expedient weaponized ozone as it relates to the present Raytheon effort to weaponize military spec compressed liquid ozone. Nothing will clear out a historic site or a mosque where Allah Akbar Jihad Pool of the Mahdi Tikrit is like ozone, sir, and we may breathe fresh oxygen a few moments later.
Well, sounds like a win-win situation, don't it?
Yeah. No depleted uranium, no persistent NBC threat.
Go ahead, Arthur, go ahead and send me the email. I look forward to getting it.
Praise Yahweh. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome. Airborne. Steve in Texas.
Oh, hi. How you doing, John?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Quite a call that last call.
Well, he's got the right attitude. He's positive, he's upbeat, and he's trying out new things. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to ask you about what do you think about some of these pocket 9mm? It seems like they're trying to make these things pretty small, like the cars and the, I think, I forget the other makers making some of these, but what do you think about the 9mm pocket pistols?
Well, it's first of all, any pistol is something that you have with you when you don't expect to fight. If you expect to fight, you have your shotgun with you or your carbine. 9mm is not a man stopper. Our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan find that out every day of the week. It was proven in tests that we would not be allowed to do that today in 1909, 101 years ago, that the 9mm is a poor man stopper compared to a 45. That said, a 9mm is better than fingernails or a knife. So it's a matter of personal preference, Steve.
Uh-huh.
If you're satisfied that it meets your needs and you can afford it and you can hit with it, then by all means go for it. But be sure you test whatever carry ammunition that you think you want to use. Be sure you test it thoroughly. Semi-automatic pistols are well known to be ammunition sensitive. And be sure you test out whatever carry ammo you use thoroughly to satisfy yourself that it will cycle properly for you.
Oh, another question I had was I finally got that book, Mr. Rawls' book, Surviving the World at the End of the
Good
World
book.
As We Know
It. Good book,
yeah.
Right.
I just got it, and it's a great book, the only one they had, too. And you and several other books and everything prefer MREs, entrees in bug-out bags. But I was wondering, what about freeze-dried food? Which would you prefer in a bug-out bag?
Well, I like the MREs because if you're on the run, you literally could be on the run. And taking time to prepare a meal with freeze-dried food, there may not be time. There's nothing better than freeze-dried food with some hot water mixed up properly and sitting down and eating it. Your water supply is going to be limited on the run with a bug-out bag. Some parts of this country, just coming across extra water could be a major thing in and of itself. See, you may want to save that water for drinking purposes. Your MREs, or MRE, is of course, stands for meals ready to eat. So you don't need to add water to it. You can eat it just like they are. Eat them cold. It won't be as good. But you can eat it on the run and not have to mix up your valuable water with it.
Right, yeah. So the, and Mr. Rob also prefers MREs, too. I saw also in the bookstore, I think you had mentioned it before, but I wanted to make sure I got the title right. It was the Marine book of their...
The Marine Guidebook?
Marine Guidebook, yeah. I think, is that the name of it?
Yes. Back in the mid-90s when we had the militia going, we reviewed dozens and dozens of military manuals, Army and Navy and Marine and all those. The Marine Guidebook was the most comprehensive for a single volume of all the ones that we reviewed.
Yeah,
and we picked it for that reason.
Yeah, this book was small and it was pretty thick, and it was paperback. I'd seen some of them before at the gun shows, a little larger, and they were $50. This book was in this bookstore for, I think, under $20.
Yeah, you don't need to spend no $50 for a Marine Guidebook. That's absurd. But let me give you another book. It's more about just fighting a war as opposed to all the different skills that go into it. It's
FM 31-20. Yeah,
hold on through the break. We'll talk about this a little bit after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th of March, 2010. Steve, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's the book. FM, Foxtrot Mike, FM 31-20, Special Forces Operational Techniques.
Yeah, I've been looking for that book, too.
Paladin Press is his people,
right.
they have it in print. It's 520 something pages. It's soft bound, pocket size. Now, I call this book Portable War. You know, the Marine Guidebook is to help a civilian acquire the skills of a soldier. That's the Marine Guidebook. This book is for soldiers to defeat an enemy, is what this book is.
Yeah, I noticed the Marine Guidebook covered everything from what to put in a footlocker, how to use the web gear, what should go in your impacts, and marksmanship, covered marksmanship, some survival and first aid, how to address officers and other NCOs and stuff like that.
Right. All right, that's the Marine Guidebook. That's how to become a soldier with the basic skills of a soldier. This book, Field Manual 31-20, is for a warrior to defeat an enemy in a guerrilla situation.
Well, so, how many trips does it take to put down one guerrilla? I think there's an average. Some general came up with that.
Well, it's a large number, something like 10-1. The guerrilla does not wear a uniform, does not engage the enemy where they expect to be engaged. They attack them where they least expect. They attack supply lines, communications, and things like that. They attack quickly, and they're gone. That's what a guerrilla does.
All right. All right, well, thank you, John.
Okay, thank you. And we got Al in Oregon. Go ahead, Al.
Good morning. Weaponized ozone and Vatican in the United States. We live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, St. Louis, Missouri is the only city other than Rome, the Vatican, where the Catholic Church owns enough square feet under roof that they could actually move the Vatican to.
Well, that take quite a bit of effort.
It's
I was perusing the Internet this morning, and I saw that the FBI and Homeland Security have conducted three separate raids statewide, Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan.
Yes,
have you heard anything about this?
These raids are posted on Republic's broad website. I'm sure Mark Carnkey, Mark from Michigan, will be addressing this on the Micro Effect tomorrow morning beginning at 8 o'clock Central Time. I'll be listening, and I hope everybody is, because he'll give us the real deal.
Yeah, I've noticed that there has been a ramp-up regarding anti-militia-type rhetoric in the mainstream news and all over, basically. And I've always thought that there was going to be a first shot fired somewhere, and I imagine they've been fired in with silencers up to now, but this looks like something different.
Well, we don't know yet. It's a situation that we'll be monitoring, and when Mark comes on tomorrow morning, he's wired in real tight with all these people, and he'll give us the real scoop.
Yeah, please repeat where he'll be, what time, and
TheMicroEffect.com. I do a weekday show there Monday through Friday, 7 mm-hmm. to 8 a.m. The Micro Effect. There's a link from my website, Steve, the Liberty Man.
Okay. Well, let's pray for the United States of America and hope it doesn't get real bad here.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call, Steve.
Thank you.
Or Al, excuse me. I get too many callers here. The regular caller, John from Florida. John with a motorhome.
Yes. You know, you made a good point about having the MREs, but where can you buy MREs that aren't like 15 years old? Where can you buy good ones or fresh ones?
Well, freeze-dried guy, I would check there first. Occasionally he has them. If not, try Emergency Essentials.
Emergency Essentials?
Emergency Essentials, yeah. They have a website, and they keep fresh MREs in stock. You don't want really old stuff, more than a couple of years old. You really don't.
Yeah, no, and I bought from the freeze dry guy, you know, the cans, number 10 cans, and but like I said in the past, you can buy at Walmart the little camping packets, but you're still right, MREs would also be good to have in the backpack.
Yeah, well, MREs, I for my bug out bag, I just use the entrees, John. I don't pack the full meals, just the entrees. The full meals are nice, and I consider that a luxury, but the entrees, you want calories to keep your head going when you're out in the bush, and the entrees will do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, freeze-dried guy we talked about, he's if you want the best long-term storage food, freeze-dried guy is the guy you want to call at 866-404-3663. He's wrapping up his 40th year selling freeze-dried food here, about to start his fifth decade. He and I share a common military heritage. We were both in the 6th, I was in the 6th group and the 12th group. He was in the 12th group at the same time I was, 12th Special Forces group. There's some articles at his website that are worth reading. Other survival-related items that he sells for first aid and so forth. And 866-404-3663 is his number. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here's more of John Moore on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th of March, 2010. Call the numbers 800-313-9443. And I don't believe I have any calls holding here. Nope, I don't think I do. If my board was cleared out, that would make a big difference here. Anyway, we've been kind of all over the map here talking about all kinds of topics, and it's been a fun show so far. And we do encourage your calls, questions, and comments at 800-313-9443. The basics of preparedness are, first of all, and most important of all, your spiritual preparedness. As the old signs in the South used to say, get right with God, whatever that is for you. It's not my job as a radio talk show host to tell you what your spiritual preparedness should be. I believe it is. I do have a responsibility, however, to advise you to take care of it for yourself, whatever that means for you. It's going to be different things for different people. After that come skills. The skills of emergency medical treatment, your local fire department, Red Cross, junior college. There's many places you can get first aid training at little or no cost. CERT training is a good thing. Yes, it's put on by the government. Yes, it's FEMA. It's all those evil things on one hand. On the other, these are your local guys and gals. This is your local fire department putting on the CERT training. And you're meeting men and women in your community who are concerned about preparedness and interested in preparedness. And you get a nice little nylon bag full of goodies as part of your training, including, drum roll please, identification and a vest that will get you through roadblocks. Yes, issued by the government. How about that? So get that emergency medical training, get your CERT training. If it's offered, sign up for it. The other skill that is very important is the skills of a ham radio operator. Being able to monitor the emergency frequencies could be a matter of life and death. If all you have access to is commercial AM and FM radio stations, you'll be getting some information. It'll be filtered through the 25-year-old male or female reporter who's making the decision what's important for you to hear. And the police will filter their information that they give the 25-year-old reporter. If you're monitoring the police frequency and the fire department's frequency, the highway patrol, the military, you'll know firsthand what's going on. It won't be filtered, and it will be immediate. You need to be able to talk to your friends and loved ones. All it takes for the cell phone system to go down, as far as that goes, even the landline to go down, is too many phone calls, system overload. That's all it takes for the telephone system to go down, a system overload. Once you have the skills and the equipment of a ham radio operator, you can talk to the people you need to talk to, and they can talk to you, and you can coordinate your efforts and not make duplicate efforts to, say, pick up the kids from school. You know, why should mom be desperately trying to get the school to pick up the kids if dad's already picked up the children? That's wasted effort that could cost a lot. If you've got radio communications, you can avoid that kind of wasted duplication of effort. Otherwise, the skills you need are commonly found on farms and ranches all over the United States. Small and large animal husbandry, growing a garden, growing fruit trees, growing grapes, repair, maintenance, and operating equipment of all kinds, the harvesting and storage of food, which would be canning and drying and all those kinds of things, hunting and fishing. Dozens of different skills that are commonly found on farms and ranches all over the United States. My neighbors out here, these farmers and ranchers, they typically own 1 ton and ton and a half flatbed trucks. They have diesel-powered tractors. They have lots of equipment, most of which they maintain themselves, most of which they repair themselves up to a point. They would be humiliated to have a minor maintenance done by somebody they had to hire and come in and do it for them. It would be a matter of public humiliation. Minor repairs, the same way. They expect to do these things themselves. They've got the tools and the skills, and they do the minor repairs themselves. And it's a matter of personal pride to be able to do these things. And they do these things, and do them effectively every day of the week. You need a safe haven with 6 or more adults. When I say adults, men and women 16 years of age and older. If you're old enough to drive a vehicle on the public highway, that shows a certain level of responsibility, that you can pull a shift from 10 p.m. to midnight and wake up the rest of the people if they need to be woke up. 6 or more adults, so that a night watch can be handled without the people in your safe haven suffering sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation is something that you really don't want to find out firsthand. I have. Most adults have at some point in their life suffered sleep deprivation for something or another. It's not a good place to be. It's unhealthy, and you stare at a bush long enough, when you're sleep deprived, that bush will start moving on you. I guarantee it. So I'm speaking from experience. Don't get too caught up with and feeling like you're deprived because you can't buy the latest $1,200 Star Wars rifle or shotgun. A couple hundred bucks, between $100 and $200, you can get a 30 caliber rifle at your local gun shop or pawn shop that will be serviceable and you can defend innocent life and property with. Rifles and shotguns first, pistols second. Men tend to gravitate towards pistols first. Now, there's a place for pistols, for concealed carry, and I'm certainly a part of that culture. I teach concealed carry training. But if you're at your farm, or your home, or your ranch, and you want to defend lives and defend property, you want shotguns and carbines first, not pistols. There's a certain intimidation value to a 12-gauge shotgun or any kind of rifle. And a criminal faced with an armed potential victim will generally try to get away if they can, usually without a shot being fired, unless you want to capture the criminal and hold them for the sheriff, which if you think you can do that and pull it off, then by all means you should do that. Capture the criminal and keep them in your custody until the sheriff's deputies can arrive and take them away to the county jail. That would be the best outcome because that way the criminal is restrained from committing further crimes. These are the things you need to consider. These are the things you need to do. I'm now a dealer for Berkey water filters, and if you've been considering getting one, I'd appreciate your business also. So you might want to check that out. We got a caller here, Bob from Ohio. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, on guns, I like a 12 gauge that'll take a 3-inch mag, and on personal home defense for a pistol, I really like a 22 mag, and for a rifle, I like if you can't get a 308, 222 or a 223, you can decide about the price of ammo and stuff like that for yourselves.
Right, right. Well, Bob, those are all good choices. Of course, 223 being a standard military round, you at some point you might be able to get surplus. Well, actually, there is some foreign surplus ammo on the market. I think I saw some in Cheaper Than Dirt's catalog the other day.
Well, 222
is basically the same round in terms of ballistics and everything.
Yes. Hey, thank you, and I love your program. God bless.
Thank you, Bob. Well, you've got a nice little battery, Bob, going there for you, and an old book that's been around for a long time. It talks about all different firearms that were available at the time. Survival Guns by Mel Tappan, T-A-P-P-A-N. Mel's no longer with us, but he wrote an excellent book that if you want a good foundation in rifles, pistols, and shotguns, I highly recommend Survival Guns by Mel Tappan. You might be able to find a used copy on Amazon fairly inexpensively. Building your survival library is an important part of all this. I've never really thoroughly inventoried my library. I am a reader. It's one of my passions in life. And the deeper you get into this, the more you understand that having a comprehensive library for all these topics is extremely valuable, whether it's communications, medical treatment, growing and harvesting food, medicinal herbs is another aspect of that, the repairing of motor vehicles, carpentry, plumbing, electrical work, radio communications. There is a myriad of topics which people need to be aware of and have resources in the form of books to help you accomplish your goals in all these different numerous areas. You'll be wanting to put together kits dedicated to specific things. I have a kit just for working on my telephone equipment, and it's got specialized tools and parts for repairing the things in my telephone system here at home. Another kit related is electrical and radio repair. All the things I need to work on radios, install radios, land-based radios, base stations, mobile radios in cars and trucks, all the tools and connectors and tapes and crimp-on connectors that are necessary to do that, and do a radio install. I'll be doing one here in my wife's Ford minivan here shortly, all the necessary and proper parts to make sure I get a nice clean installation there. So lots of things to do, lots of things to acquire. Now you need to set your priorities. Most of the things that I talk about, majority of them are commonly found on farms and ranches all over the United States. If you're an urban dweller, urban or suburban dweller, you probably don't have the need for these items. If you have them, then God bless you. You're certainly ahead of the game. But if you don't, you need to be considering acquisition of skills, acquisition of tools and equipment to do these things. Best case scenario would be, of course, to have a safe haven where you've got these things stocked up and somebody living there. The only real security is having someone living on the premises 24/7. Next best thing is to have a trusted neighbor who can see your premises, unobstructed view of your premises, and they live there 24/7. I've been dealing with burglars professionally since 1973. I became a criminal defense investigator. I've interviewed many of these men. I don't think I've ever interviewed a female burglar. I know there are such things. But given enough time, a burglar will violate any lock or barrier between him and what he wants to get to. That's a given. If it takes a sledgehammer, they'll use a sledgehammer. If it takes a cutting torch, they'll use a cutting torch. If it takes a chainsaw, whatever it takes, they will violate any barrier between themselves and what you've got stored. That's why the only real security is having a human being that can see your premises 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What locks, alarms, and lights do is buy time. They buy time so that when the alarm goes off, the authorities are notified and they can respond. Out in the country, the response time can easily be 45 minutes to an hour, depending on where you live. Easily. In my area, the response time for the deputies is typically 30 to 45 minutes. In the daytime, typically weekdays, 30 minutes. In the evenings, on weekends, it can be 45 minutes plus, depending on what's going on. My county has typically two deputies working the night shift. And it's a big county with hundreds and hundreds of square miles. So if the deputies are preoccupied working an accident or there's injuries, something like that, they're going to continue taking that rather than respond to a burglary call or an alarm call. They'll try to call for backup from the highway patrol. If the highway patrol has backup, they'll dispatch a state trooper. So when you're in these outlying areas, you're frequently on your own. My neighbors, they routinely monitor the emergency frequencies. It's part of their lifestyle. It has been since the 70s when these home scanners easily became available, maybe even as far back as the 60s. And they monitor these frequencies. If something's going on in the neighborhood, we take care of business. If the alarm goes off at my little store here in my neighborhood where there's a post office, the alarm company calls John Moore before they call the sheriff. And they ask me do I want the sheriff to respond? And sometimes I'll say yes, sometimes I'll say hold off until I can check out the situation. Depends on the situation. Since I can see the store from my kitchen window, I'm a logical person to respond to these calls. Typically, it's one call or two calls a year, usually a false alarm, but we get a bona fide real burglary happening about every two or three years. Which, of course, since a post office is in the premises, makes it a federal crime if they would to violate the postal premises. Lots of skills to learn, lots of equipment that you should be considering getting, supplies you need to be considering getting. How much time? I don't know. Break coming up. Stay tuned. The call number is 800-313-9443. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 28th of March, 2010. I want to say hello to Amy, Tammy, and Norman, if you're listening. I hope you're enjoying the show. The basics of making electricity are very important. The batteries are extremely important. A good system will be one based on a bank of batteries that can run everything you want to run for 24 hours. It could be 48 or 72 hours that you charge up once a day or once every 2 days or once every 3 days, depending on the system that you choose. That's the way to do it. Typically, most men and women, they run down to their local hardware store. They pick up a 5-kilowatt gasoline-powered genset. They stock up 5 or 10 or 20 gallons of gasoline, they think they're good to go. If your electric's off for anywhere from 1 to 3 days, that's not too bad. You could do worse. It's worse being having no electricity. Gasoline is dangerous. It doesn't store well. And unless you frequently run it, you might be have a rude wake-up call if you just let that gasoline sit there, let that gas sit in the carburetor of that genset, and when you want to fire it up, it won't perform. You need to fire it up at least once a month and to make sure your gasoline is stabilized, cycle it through your motor vehicle, your car, your truck, so it's fresh all the time. Far better off to get propane. You get to a bigger genset around 7,000, 8,000 kilowatts. There's almost always a propane carburetor that you can get to replace the gasoline carburetor. Propane never goes bad. It never, ever goes bad. It's not as dangerous to store. It burns cleaner. The exhaust is water vapor. So go with a propane genset and you'll be far better off. You can calculate within a fairly closely number of hours how long your genset will run based on the amount of fuel you've got and the consumption per hour. A quarter gallon per hour, half gallon per hour, whatever it is, you can calculate that out and figure out what it will do. We can talk more about this next week. I see the clock's about to run out here. I'll be on the Micro Effect tomorrow morning at 0700 Central Time, as I am every morning, Monday through Friday. Mark Carnkey on the Micro Effect at 0800. Mark from Michigan will be talking about these FBI raids on at least three different locations in the past 24 hours. I'm sure by then, at least I hope, Mark will have some details and updates that we should all find helpful and useful. I know that Mark's on top of this. He has an excellent intelligence network, and he calls it that's his show in the morning. That's it. Just about it for this week. I think I hear the music starting up. I do. You have a wonderful week. Be safe. Be productive. Buy lots of ammunition, and God bless America.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.